Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Republican State Senator Ben Kueckheffer joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Republican State Senator Ben Kueckheffer. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're actually putting your name on a parking space outside the studio here. No, it's really great to have you back.
Thank you.
We're taping this the morning after the South Carolina debate. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the debate?
Oh, it's getting bloody out there for the Democrats, isn't it? They know how we felt like 4 years ago as Republicans. I think there's clearly animosity amongst the majority of the Democrats on that stage over having Bernie Sanders as the nominee. But it looks like he's got a pretty clear path at this point if he can capture it.
It's interesting to see the influence of money in politics. In terms of, let's start with Tom Steyer, mm-hmm. who spent a ton of money in Nevada and living next door in California, so he was able to visit here a lot, almost no response.
Yeah.
And Michael Bloomberg, having spent, an unbelievable amount of money, close to a third of $1 billion already, mm-hmm. and he's only just getting started, and yet, it's not gaining him popularity, it's gaining him the vengeance of everybody.
Well, it gained him poll numbers, it got him on the stage for the debates, the last two debates, and I think, Michael Bloomberg has the willingness clearly to spend almost whatever is necessary to catapult himself into the top tier of candidates, and he's done that. But now comes the hard part, and having to stand on that stage and take the slings and arrows that are going to be coming at you. And he struggled, and that's. I think we're all a little surprised that he's not a little bit better prepared as he goes into these debates. But I think he's got the money to sustain some of the damage that he's taking now. And ultimately, we'll see how he does on Super Tuesday, because he's hinged his entire campaign on that.
Yeah, and a fascinating strategy that may change the way elections are played going into the future.
Or not.
Yeah, and that's true. He reminds me, in a way, of State Senator Chick Hecht, mm-hmm. who nobody in the North certainly knew who he was, mm-hmm. and I doubt that very many people in Southern Nevada knew who he was, but he had an incredible on-air campaign, billboards that looked fabulous, and it wasn't until after he won that election and became a United States Senator that most Nevadans actually found out who he was, what he sounded like. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was working at Channel 2 at the time, and he was sitting in the lobby waiting to be interviewed. And I went, this is the person? Because he'd never spoken.
Wow.
It was just fascinating to see somebody get elected without actually really publicly appearing anywhere, because he was a little guy, he had kind of a funny voice, mm-hmm. He was a little tailor from Las Vegas who uh-huh. served in the state Senate. But I mean, it is possible to go the Bloomberg route and be successful. Now, Hecht didn't have the ability to go a second term, ended up as the ambassador to the Bahamas.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. He loved to play golf. But it'll be interesting to see where the money is, because on the other side, we've seen, for example, Sheldon Adelson has spent hundreds of millions of dollars with not always a lot of success in backing candidates. Newt Gingrich would be the mm-hmm. biggest example, $10 million and zero.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, there is having a lot of money and spending it wisely, right? And I think, you know, Mr. Adelson has made choices about how he allocates his money that that are strategic for him, right? And Mr. Bloomberg and Mr. Steyer are spending their money in ways that are strategic for them. I'm not exactly sure that I understand those strategies always. I'm not exactly sure what Tom Steyer is hoping to achieve. I think it's clear that he's not going to become president of the United States. So at this point, how he's seeing his return on investment as a businessman is unclear to me. But you know, everyone makes their own calculations about how they want to allocate their resources in a political campaign. Some people do it on TV. Some people are doing more and more digital advertising. Some people are hiring staff. It's just really magnified at the presidential level, but it happens down at the state Senate and state assembly and city council levels too.
It's also interesting to me that we're seeing, you know, more and more money go into politics, but a prominent lobbyist has said to me for several years now, for example, in the state of Nevada, that we are really politically naive. We have very few really astute political campaign managers, mm-hmm. And yet way more candidates than can be accommodated by those managers. Do you agree with that?
You know, there are a limited number of people that I would trust with my political future in this state. I think that's fair to say, but I also wouldn't want to bring in somebody from out of state to try to understand Nevada. So, you know, it's a little bit of a catch-22.
Hello, Shelley Berkeley.
Yeah, I think that there are dynamics in this state that are unique. There are dynamics in every state that are unique. So understanding the constituency is really important, and having that track record on the ground of working on campaigns in Nevada, I think, is a critical attribute for someone who's going to be running campaigns.
Do you think that somebody, whoever it is, whether they're running for city council, planning commission, whatever it might be, needs to spend a couple of years on the ground before they actually take their first step into running for elected office?
You mean residency?
No, well, not so much residency in terms of actually being a part of the public debate, being part, you know, in some cases, you know, Bruce Breslow would be an example. Mm-hmm. He was a former sportscaster on television. He decided he wanted to run for mayor of Sparks. And he spent 2 years going to city council meetings mm-hmm. To prepare himself so that when he was actually in the campaign, he really knew what the issues were. He could actually yeah. debate the issues. Isn't that the way that one really needs to go, as against just dropping in? It's campaign time, let's drop a couple of $1 million and go for it.
Let's file our name, yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of ways to engage, right? And there are a lot of ways to understand the job that you're applying for, right? And I think it's really important to align your interests and what you hope to achieve with the office that you're seeking. It's one thing that I tell people, you know, all the time when I talk to them about whether or not they want to seek office, is make sure that you're running for the right office, right? Don't run just because you want to run for something. And invest the time to understand the dynamics of that job. One of the reasons I really wanted to run for the state Senate was because I'd spent a lot of time observing the legislature, working in the governor's office, working in a state agency, covering the legislature as a reporter, and I just felt like I'd seen too many people making decisions and taking votes when they couldn't tell me the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
And understanding the issues that you're going to be facing, I think, is a really important sort of preliminary step in running for office, because it will make you not just a better candidate, but a better elected official once you're there.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Ben Kieckhefer when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ben Kiekhefer. So you had a big victory in the last 24 hours in terms of open primaries. Tell the public what happened.
So I filed a statutory initiative at the end of January to create an open primary system for Nevada to ensure that nonpartisans get an opportunity to really participate in our electoral process. And we had the challenge period, so to speak, passed for single subject and definition. And description of effect passed without a challenge. So it looks like I'm going to be able to start raising money and moving on to signature gathering for this new electoral system that I hope to run.
And this will be on the ballot in 2020?
No, it would. So this is a statutory initiative process. So I filed the initiative, and I have until now November to gather signatures. You have gathered the same number of signatures as for a constitutional amendment, so almost 100,000 spread out across the state. And then you file those signatures, and it will get certified by the Secretary of State, and then go to the legislature in 2021. And the legislature can either adopt it or reject it. And when the legislature rejects it, which I fully expect that they will, it'll go back to the ballot in 2022.
How much money do you think you're going to have to raise to collect that number of signatures?
Probably about $1 million.
Wow. And there's support at this point in time?
I hope so. I think so. I'm getting a lot of support verbally. We'll see if that translates into checks. That's one of the hiccups in campaigns. Often is a lot of talk and not a lot of action. But I think that what we're seeing on the ground in Nevada will make people want to support this. Not only had we seen the sort of massive growth of nonpartisan registration over the past 5-6 years, but as we implemented automatic voter registration at the DMV, we've already made it the public policy of this state that we're going to default people into the nonpartisan position. So you're seeing a massive surge in nonpartisan registration. And the reality is that for most elections in this state, if you're not part of the political party that makes up the majority, you have no say in who represents you in your government. So this is a model that will put everybody on the ballot in a primary. Everyone gets to vote regardless of political party, and then the top two go through to the general election. And it's called a blanket or jungle primary system, and it'll give people an opportunity to participate in a new way.
And you could end up with two Republicans, two Democrats, or two people who are not aligned at all.
You could if the district makeup results in that, you know. But it gives candidates an opportunity to appeal to a much broader swath of the electorate and talk to more people as they campaign.
One of the things that's come out of the caucus on the Democratic side is that Senator Reid, and now it's been picked up by the governor and just about everybody else, is to change from a caucus system to a primary system. Are you in favor of that?
I am. We tried to do that in 2015 when Republicans were in charge of the legislature. Ironically, Harry Reid is the person who killed it, making some calls to make sure some votes switched to the no position who were previously in favor.
Harry got involved? Wow.
I know. Shocker, right? and look, Democrats had used the caucus system as a voter registration mechanism very successfully over the past decade. Despite the fact that people really didn't like it very much, but they used it to register voters, and they did so successfully. It was a political decision for them. And when Now that there's automatic voter registration and same-day voter registration, I don't think they see the same need to have the caucus as that registration tool. So I think they're finally willing to listen to the will of the people and move back to a primary system.
But they did, my understanding is, register another 10,000 Democrats in this go-around.
Yep, I think that's probably about right.
So it's been an amazing tool for them.
It has been. It's been very successful. And I think they see that there are more tools now available to them that will probably make up for it. You know, there are a couple dynamics that you need to figure out in making that switch, though, right? Are we going to give up being an early presidential state and just put the presidential election on the June ballot with everybody else? Or are we going to have a standalone presidential primary in February or maybe January, which would preserve our early state status, which I think is important? But then who pays for that? I think the political parties should pay for that if it's a political nominating process. Do we move all of the other campaigns back to a primary with the presidential in January or February, which means people are campaigning for office over Christmas? I don't think anyone really wants that. So there's some things that need to be figured out, but I'm sure we'll come to a good solution.
Senator Reid is making the point that he thinks Iowa is done as the first state, mm-hmm. And that Nevada should move up. What do you think the chances are of that?
I can't tell you what the chances are, but I agree with him that Nevada is a better state to hold early election contests than Iowa. I think it's certainly more reflective of the country, and I think that there are opportunities for candidates to prove themselves to an electorate that much more accurately reflects our nation and the people that are going to be voting in a general election. So I think that Iowa has had a good run. They've proven themselves this election probably to be unworthy of it at this point, and we should move up on the calendar.
All right, more with State Senator Ben Kiekhoffer when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both. But more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ben Kiekhoffer. Blockchain legislation, mm-hmm. and blockchain technology, you've been a huge proponent of this. More things are now occurring because of this.
Absolutely. So during the last legislative session, we were able to pass Senate Bill 161, which created a regulatory sandbox program.
What does that mean?
So think about our laws and our regulations that have been passed over time. Some of them are 40, 50 years old, and they were created in a world that really no longer exists when it comes to the financial services industry. Some of it still does, but a lot has changed, and our laws haven't always kept up with what's happened in the industry, and especially with blockchain. There is a whole new financial technology component of customer-facing products that are available to people. So the idea is to create a space where an entrepreneur, a technologist, a young company can come and say, I have a product that doesn't necessarily conform with all of your statutes and regulations because they were written long before this concept even existed. So I would like to get limited market access to try out this product in Nevada. So this company will apply to the Department of Business and Industry and work with the regulators hand in hand early before they launch a product to create a set of rules that can include waivers of certain regulations or certain statutes that don't necessarily conform with this new product. So with that agreement with the department, working hand in hand with the regulators, they can then get for 2 years limited market access to Nevada to test out their product. And what I really like about it is that it is regulators and entrepreneurs and innovators working together early so that the state and the regulation component can understand these businesses early, and they don't just come down over the top late after they've launched and be punitive. So the idea behind the bill was to provide a space for these companies to do new work, try new products, but ultimately it's an economic development tool to try to attract companies into Nevada and hope that they build really large, successful companies here.
What kind of interest have you had so far?
You know, so far I know that there's been a lot of dialogue between the department and potential applicants. I don't know if they've received any full applications yet. It just launched at in January, so it's pretty new. But I'm pretty excited about it, and hopefully it'll be successful. And we'll learn over time what we need to do in the next legislative session to fix some of our statutes that might be a little outdated.
All right, so would it be correct to look at this and say that there is a difference between blockchain technology, which is what you're talking about, and digital currency, that they are not necessarily aligned? That
Right, well, it's not the same. A blockchain is the underlying technology that makes things like a digital currency viable. But it's not the only thing that it can be used for. A blockchain is a ledger. It's a way to keep track of transactions over a period of time in a way that can't really be changed. So it's the backbone that makes something like a cryptocurrency possible. But it's also used to track produce from field to store. It's used in the banking industry, the traditional banking industry. It's being used in healthcare. It's being used in all traditional industries because it allows for a more seamless and more quick ability to track transactions over time. So yes, for financial services and financial technology and cryptocurrency and things like that, it's the backbone that makes those happens. But the application of blockchain is so much broader.
And I think that's an important factor for people to understand, because so many people don't really understand cryptocurrency, or they look at the fluctuating in terms of value and go, oh, that's kind of a scary thing. On the other hand, you have the Washoe County Recorder using blockchain technology to process, you know, births, deaths, and marriages.
Yep, absolutely. It can be used for a wide variety of purposes. It is really a way to keep track of information in a very secure method. And you know, our statutes have been updated to be, you know, pretty nimble in terms of recognizing these transactions that can be conducted over a blockchain, so that businesses operating in this space have some legal certainty. That was part of what we started in 2017 and updated in 2019, was creating these definitions and incorporating things incorporating these transactions into our Electronic Records Act and things like that, so that businesses feel comfortable conducting business in Nevada, knowing that our courts have laws that they can point to and recognize, and that there is going to be case law in the books that will ensure authenticity and viability of those records.
I want to hit one more topic before we're done here. We've got a couple of minutes left, which is our governor at this point spends the majority of time in Las Vegas, except during the legislative session. We had Michael Brown on the program the other day from GoEd, and he comes up here, trying to come up here 1 week a month, but lives in Las Vegas. Have we seen, apart from the legislative session, state government now move to Las Vegas?
I don't think so. I mean, you still have the majority of state employees sort of headquartered in Carson City in terms of state agencies and things like that. But look, the governor is from Las Vegas and he lives there, and that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Maybe he's got a nicer house than the governor's mansion down there. I don't know. But the idea of moving the capital to Las Vegas and things like that is something that has popped up before. I clearly don't support that.
I don't see that physically, but right. I mean literally, if all the leadership of state government mm-hmm. is going to be based in Las Vegas, then it's moving the way that the state is governed. Maybe it doesn't matter in a technological age mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, well, I think there's something to that, and I don't think that having the governor in Las Vegas a lot is a bad thing. Most of the people in the state are in Las Vegas, right? And, you know, for Michael Brown to be the director of business and industry, there's a lot of work to be done in Las Vegas. So I have no problem.
And he's go-ahead now.
I'm sorry?
He's go-ahead now, not business and
industry. I'm sorry. That's right. Go-ahead. I apologize. That's what I meant. Regardless, there's a lot of work to be done in Las Vegas. So I don't have issues with the governor spending time in his home in Las Vegas. He's the governor of the state. The majority of our population is in Las Vegas. But there's something fabulous about the capital being Carson City and having the legislative session operate there. And most state agencies are run out of Carson City. And I don't see that changing just because the governor's from Las Vegas.
And that's where we have to leave it. Ben Kiekhaver, always a pleasure, sir. Come back
Thanks,
anytime.
Sam. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye catches its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Everywhere is Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.